Is anybody here?
Hello, everybody.
And hello, Iran Europe.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
What are we gonna be talking about this time, Mona?
This time, we are going to be talking about fear. Fear.
Fear, of course, won't make you happy. When you feel scared, you are not delighted. But lack of fear won't necessarily make you as happy as one might think. It is, in fact, a great mechanism without which we would have long ago become extinct. There is indeed a book on fear called The Gift of Fear. It's a great read that can help you learn more about fear.
That's very true. Fear is a feeling that people either don't pay attention to at all, or pay too much attention to. Fear, like any other feeling, has its own unique function, and without it, we wouldn't be as thriving as we are now as a species. In fact, fear, I believe, can be educational. It can teach us what to avoid. But if you react to fear irrationally, things can go badly wrong.
Yes, I believe sometimes people use fear to teach lessons. Fear, I believe, is way more useful than many might think it is.
Let me tell you a story that can help us understand how fear works.
That's fantastic. Of course, the story you're gonna tell us is scary, right?
Let me tell you the story and then you tell me if it is scary. Many years ago, in a small village near London, people started to hear weird noises. This, at first, was not a big deal. Yet, soon, the noises became louder and louder. Can you guess what that was?
I don't know, probably a monster?
People could easily hear the noises. It sounded like some people were having an argument, but they couldn't understand the word. Many thought it was a different language. Many thought this was the language of the dead. And unless you were dead, you couldn't understand it.
It is getting too scary now. The villagers could hear people arguing, but they couldn't understand anything.
Things soon got worse. The villagers started reporting that their livestock were disappearing. Finding blood where the animals had disappeared made people think that some animals were doing that. But no one knew what animal had done it all. But everybody was sure about something. The cows were eaten in the barns.
Oh my god, is that a true story? Hold on a second, you're saying a creature, I don't know, monster, went into people's barns and then preyed on their cows? Maybe a lion or a tiger had done it all, right?
Tigers and lions in England? That's highly unlikely. Besides that, people had locked the places where they kept their livestock. In fact, they were guarding those places so strictly that no one could enter or exit. And animals like wolves take their prey somewhere outside the barns, but the cows in our story, they are eaten at the barns.
So, how the hell did that happen? Are we really talking about ghosts or vampires, probably?
Yes!
Seriously, vampires?
Yes. In 1774, in a village near London, 22 cows disappeared. Later, when people guarded their barns more strictly, making it impossible for the vampires to feed on sheep and cows, vampires decided to feed on people.
So that's how vampires started feeding on people? They were made to do that, right? But there's a thing. It's common knowledge that vampires feed on people's blood, right? So I think there's a problem. I never knew that vampires hunted cows and sheep.
Good point. The fact of the matter is vampires naturally fed on cow meat, but when it became so hard for them to put their hands on cows, since people were protecting their livestock so strictly, the vampires were left with no choice but to change their prey. And the reason why they only feed on human blood, not flesh, is that apparently the flesh of humans is not as tasty as one might think. That's why other predators, including lions, are highly unlikely to prey on humans.
Wow, so that's why vampires suck our blood. Wow.
Yes, that's why. But it isn't over. Once the vampires started feeding on human blood, they started changing and morphing. They became more aggressive and bloodthirsty because human blood made them savage beasts.
Wow, Mona. Can we just move on, please, since we have learned why vampires become vampires?
No! I've got more to tell you. No, kidding. That's all. That's how vampires are known to be these days.
The story that Mona told us was quite spine-tingling. At the same time, it teaches us a great lesson. What's the lesson, you may ask? Here it is. We cultivate our fears, feed them, and mainly make them worse.
Exactly. That's what we do with our fears. We make them scarier than they are.
But what is fear exactly? Why do we even have this feeling?
Well, Abbas mentioned the gift of fear. Does this name ring a bell? If not, kindly listen to this part of the podcast. Well, Gavin De Becker is the author of The Gift of Fear, which was first published in 1997. He is an American security specialist, author, and expert in violence prediction and prevention. Gavin De Becker is highly respected for his expertise in violence prevention, and his book, The Gift of Fear, has helped countless people learn to trust their instincts and make safer choices in their daily lives. Now, let's talk a little bit about this book. The Gift of Fear talks about how important it is to listen to our feelings, especially when we feel scared or unsafe. The author, Gavin De Becker, is an expert in understanding and stopping violence. In his book, he explains that we all have a special ability inside us that helps us know when something bad might happen. One big idea in the book is learning the difference between being scared because of a real danger and just feeling worried. When we are really scared, it means we need to do something quickly to stay safe. But if we are only worried, it may not be a sign of real danger. The book explains that many times we can see violence coming if we pay attention to the right signs. It talks about different kinds of violence, like when someone we don't know tries to hurt us, or when someone in our family is being violent, or even when there is violence at work. It teaches us what signs to look for to know if you're really in danger. Another important lesson in his book is learning how to say no when we feel uncomfortable. If you don't do this, Sometimes people who might want to hurt us may think it's okay. So it is important to be clear about what we want and what we don't want. To make the long story short, this book teaches us to trust our feelings, make good choices, and be strong when we need to protect ourselves from people who might want to hurt us. Guys, I highly recommend you read this book, so don't forget to get yourself one ASAP.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the class Fear 101. All right, what is fear? Glad you ask. Fear. It is too hard to come up with a straightforward definition for such a complex feeling, given we have different types and shades of it. But fear is our natural and intrinsic reaction to uncertainty, the fear of the unknown, the fear of not knowing how something will feel or how successful we will be at the end of the day. That's why saying that you are completely fearless or you have never felt petrified seems rather unrealistic. You might say you are brave and audacious, which is fine, but it actually means that you are good at managing your feeling about what might happen and how things might turn out. Once you are good at managing your feelings, people might start saying that you are brave or fearless. Fear is a feeling that has developed over millions of years and has helped us save our lives through life's challenges. That is my definition of fear. Did you like it? But now, you tell me your definition of fear. Let's go, Ehsan.
Hello, everybody. We are in Iran Europe Language Institute. We are at the building number 4 yard, and it's scorching hot. I'm here to talk to people and ask them some questions about fear. These people are language learners who are waiting for their classes to start, so they don't have plenty of time. I'm going to keep it sharp and short. Hi, Kurosh, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. I am as fit as a fiddle.
Very good. Kurosh, do you think you are brave?
Yes, I consider myself as a brave person.
Why?
Because I am willing to escape from my comfort zone all the time, and I am ready to try new things, new situation, in order to have new possibility, new opportunity to make a real progress in my life.
Thank you. And can you tell me the definition of fear?
People usually fear the things that they don't know. They think that maybe they might be in trouble if they are in a new situation, or they face new people that they don't know.
All right. Thank you, Kurosh. It was phenomenal. And it was great talking to you.
Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Mahnoosh. How are you doing?
Fine.
Okay, do you think you are a brave person?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm not scared of trying new things. And for example, I try scary things. For example, scary movies.
Okay. And Mahnoosh, how do you define fear?
When you are scared of try things for the first time, or scared of losing things or people.
All right. Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Me too.
Goodbye. So that's it. It's too hot. I need to do something right now. Otherwise, I'm going to experience a heat stroke. Over to you, Mohammad Reza.
Fear is a mechanism through which we make sure we don't do something that may put us and our loved ones in danger. This can simply mean that without this critical feeling, we would have long ago become extinct. Our audacity without a certain level of prudence is mere bravado. For example, we might think that jumping off a cliff is brave without considering the fact that this is probably the last time we see our family and friends, and the last time we ever jump. But the fear of death and the pain we might experience easily put us off. That's how, every time human beings are to do something that might pose a certain level of danger, they think about it twice, ensuring that they are not gonna die. That's it. So if you feel fear when you wanna do something that might be quite dangerous, wait up to see if it is worth doing. But bear in mind that fear is completely natural. Oh, let me go and jump off that cliff.
Great, but Mona, what about you? Do you think you are brave?
I'm not really sure. It's too hard to confidently say I'm brave because I believe it mainly depends on the challenge and the circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. I believe the word brave is sometimes too hard to describe.
But generally speaking, I always think that I'm quite prudent. What I'm saying is I always think about the possible outcomes. Without weighing the possible outcomes, I hardly ever make a decision. Does that make me fearful or brave? I don't know. But I'm also someone who stands up for herself.
Well, to me, it's rather innate to make instant decisions and undertake mammoth responsibilities without giving them some thought. It is anything but bravery. It is being stubborn. Being brave, I believe, simply means being fully aware of the possible outcomes and having the willpower to do it anyhow, insofar as you believe that you have what it takes to get it done and you won't hurt yourself and others.
Yes, exactly. If you know nothing about, say, how to conduct a surgery, you're attempting it is a prime example of lunacy and insanity. Nothing else.
That's right.
So everybody, that was another episode of the Iran Europe radio show. You can follow us on Instagram at Iran Europe, and you can also subscribe to our channel on CastBox and DigiGush.com.
Really should say goodbye.
You really didn't see that coming?
Time flies.
Yes, it does.
So goodbye for now.
Goodbye.